Welcome to a brand new series we are calling Pray First. Go ahead, if you would, grab your message notes. We are going to jump on into the message here today. So glad to have you here. If you're here again for the very first time, I want to welcome you. And can you help me welcome all those that are listening online with us this morning as well? Come on, can you do that? Yeah. We have people all over the nation that listen in. Glad to have them listen along with us as well through the power of technology. And it's awesome. Well, as you're getting that, I want to just say this past week, and as we've been now entering into the month of August, hard to believe that summer is, man, it's almost gone, everybody. We're in August now. It's crazy to think how quickly time is moving. And it just really got me in a place this past week when I was just in prayer and just reflection about what God is doing even through this summer in our church and through the lives of many different people. And, you know, in the month of June, we did a series called Baggage. And if you remember that, that was, I think, just an incredibly important series for all of us that we could probably hear again and again. And one of the challenges that I just kind of issued through that series that we talk so much about is sometimes in the journey that we're carrying things in our life that God never intended for us to carry, but because when we go through circumstances and different situations, we kind of just accumulate baggage, and it's easy to just carry stuff and not allow God to do what God wants to do and needs to do. And so we just really learned through that series to just continue to allow God to be God, allow Him to carry the things that He's anointed to carry for you. Amen, everybody? And so then last month, in the month of July, we did our series called Jesus and We. Everybody say Jesus and We. Man, that was, I think, one of my favorite series to preach. We had an amazing time with that. And understanding in that series what really God was saying through that to us is that we are the church. How many know the church is not a physical building, but we are, you are. Look at the person next to you, say, you're the church, all right? And so we learned that in this series that we are the church and we don't exist for us, but we exist for the world. And so that God has called us not to be spiritual consumers, but to be spiritual contributors, to play a part in what God wants to do, amen? And so here we are in the month of August, and I think we, many different ones, vacation, have time off, which is great. I think you need to rest well. I think you need to vacation well, but sometimes if we're not careful, we can take spiritual vacations. And so we got to be careful with that. And so I think August is an opportunity for us really just to kind of zero back in on what God is saying and what God is wanting to do in our lives and in our families and through our church. And there's we're expecting God to do some big things this fall. And so we're going to share more of that with you in just a few weeks about some cool changes that are going to happen that we are excited about. Change can be bad or can be good, but I believe it's good. And we look at change as something that's constant around here because we want to grow and do everything God has for us. Can you say good amen? So prayer is something that I love talking about because it's something I'm very passionate about, but it's something that God is very passionate about. And that's His communication to you and to me. And I liken prayer to oxygen. How many know if you ain't breathing right now, you ain't here? And so if you don't have oxygen, ain't none of us here today, all right? And so, but prayer is vital to your life, and it's the source of everything I believe that you need in your relationship with God and even in this journey called life that we need to not just sustain us, but to keep us in forward motion. It's kind of like gasoline to a car. How many have ever been on empty or ever ran out of gas? How many know that's frustrating? You know, prayer is a preventive thing too in your life that not only keeps you going forward, but will keep you from going on empty. All right. Well, some of y'all get that later. All right. So anyway, I remember some of my favorite times in prayer, but I remember many years ago in the church that we were part of in Columbus, Ohio, we kind of did one of those all-night type prayer things. I had no idea really what that looked like. And so I thought, man, I'm going to do it. I'm gonna pray all night. Glory to God, you know. And so I remember we started the night, and man, I prayed for everybody I knew. I prayed for every distant cousin I knew. I prayed, man, for everybody in all office in our nation, for all the Hollywood stars. You know, I just went on and on in my prayer and prayed for everybody in the world and just anybody and everybody, all right? And got to it and looked at my watch and thought, man, you know, I've been praying at least an hour, maybe more. It had been 10 minutes. I thought, man, it's going to be a long night. And the focus became more even on the fact that I was kneeling and my knees were killing me. And so I thought, you know what? I don't know if I'm cut out for this prayer thing. I don't know if I have what it takes to be this spiritual warrior that I thought maybe I was wanting to be supposed to be. And I want to just kind of say this to you. And I want to read an excerpt from a book here in just a minute that I think all of us can relate to. Prayer is not about a formula. It's not about having to do this and that for God to hear you. You know, that's why I love God and His presence so much. And we're going to learn this today in this message, that prayer is just simple communication to God. Just like I'm talking to you, that we talk and have an ongoing conversation with Him as well. And there's no formula. There's no this or that, and then God will hear me. Over the next two Sundays, I'm going to talk to you about the difference between answered prayers and unanswered prayers. The task, I feel like the Holy Spirit has me on with this prayer and series that we're doing. So that's in the coming weeks. But I want to read this. This is out of a book by Chuck Swindoll. And he talked about his journey and experience with prayer and his early frustration that he had before he just kind of got a revelation of how to move forward. And he said, to be painfully honest with you, most of the stuff I've ever read or heard about prayer has either left me under a ton and a half truckload of guilt or wearied me with pious sounding phrases and meaningless God talk. Without trying to sound ultra cynical, I frequently walked away thinking, who really needs it? Because I didn't spend two or three grueling hours a day on my knees as dear Dr. So-and-so did, or because I failed to just say it the right way, whatever that means. Or because I wasn't able to weave several scripture verses through my prayer, or because I had not been successful in moving mountains, I picked up the distinct impression that I was out to lunch when it came to this part of my Christian life. It seemed almost spooky, mystical, and dare I say it, even a little superstitious. A lot of verbal mumbo-jumbo laced with a secret jargon that some people had and others didn't, and I definitely didn't. And I read that because I remember reading that feeling, man, I've been there. And I think sometimes it can be frustrating. And so my prayer is through this series is that prayer becomes an essential part of your life and something so easy to understand and simple. So my goal for it, because I realize that sometimes we get frustrated in prayer. Sometimes we're not praying because we think God's mad at us, or which God is totally never mad at you. He's madly in love with you, waiting to release the forgiveness and grace that you and I need. But I realize we might be in a place that we're identifying that, man, I'm not really praying. I don't really talk to God like I need to. So my hope is through the next few weeks and beginning today that God does something on the inside of your heart, because God did not create prayer simply to create guilt in your life. Can you say a good amen, church? All right. And so, you know, I love that just when Jesus was on the scene and in the place of ministry, I love so much about what he was about, because he really just exploded the myths that were out there about prayer. And he taught us that prayer is not a guilt producer. It's really an anxiety reliever. It's not, you know, we're not in a place where it's a dreaded obligation that we have to go pray. It's a privilege. It's an honor that we get to go and communicate to God. So here's what I need you to do this morning. I want you to throw out everything you've ever heard about prayer and just open up your heart to what God wants to say to you on this subject of prayer, and most importantly, your heart and his heart connecting, and your communication maybe going to a place that maybe it's never been, I don't know. But I'm just believing by the working of the Holy Spirit that God is going to do some new things in us, because it's not about reciting phrases. I mean, religion will teach you that. Religion will try to get you and I into this thinking or this process. Well, if I don't do it like this and say this word and pray like that and stand on my toe, then God may not hear me. It's craziness, I know, but religion will try to teach us that when God just says, man, I just want you to talk to me. I just want a conversation, just want to meet with, just want to spend time with you. Because it's about our heart connecting with his heart. It's about us hearing him and him hearing us. That's a relationship. Something I really try to do a good job of teaching us in this church is that everything that God does relationally. His relationship with you, and then he will use relationships with people to help us, which is part of the equation in the process of this journey. 1 Thessalonians, we saw this in the video, chapter 5, it says this, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Then I love verse 17 in the New Living Translation, same verse of scripture, just says it a little bit different. And it just literally says this, never stop praying. Can you say that with me this morning? Never stop praying. Come on, say it again.
Never stop praying.
One last time with everything you got.
Never stop praying.
Oh, there we go. Just making sure we're all awake and ready this morning. Never stop praying. Another version says, pray without ceasing. That verse sometimes freaks people out. It's like, man, how in the world are you supposed to, like, am I supposed to do that like every second? You know, is this something that I'm supposed to do every moment? Like, so everything I do, you know? And it messes with people. And that verse is literally saying, and that verse literally means, is to have ongoing conversations with God. You know, I think about my relationship with Bethany and our marriage. There's ongoing conversations that her and I have throughout the day, whether it's on the phone, whether it's through a text, that we're communicating and we are talking. But how many of you know that if I only talked to my wife 4 Sundays out of the month, my marriage probably would not be in a healthy place? Can somebody wave at me and say, you're right, Pastor, right? How many know it's unhealthy? But how many of you know if we're only talking to God on Sundays, 4 Sundays out of the month, that we're probably not in a healthy place either? And so my point is, this morning, if we find ourselves in a place where we see our communication lacking with God, man, to zero in on what God is wanting to say through this. And in this month of August, that's what we're focusing on. Because my prayer is as a church that we as God's people go from where we're at to where God wants us to be. But the only way that's going to happen is your life growing and your relationship with God and the place of prayer becoming pivotal, becoming a priority as you move forward in the things of God. So jot this down. Here's what prayer should be. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. I think oftentimes we hit circumstances, we hit tough seasons, we go through moments that we think we can handle it better than God. I've been there. And I've been there where prayer wasn't first. Prayer became a last resort. Actually, Pastor Rob even shared a story last week in his message about that that I thought was so, so good and a reminder. But it's easy for us when we're hit with things to, man, we try to figure it out. How many of you have been there? You know what I'm talking about. And you're thinking, oh, yeah, maybe I should pray about it. We say things like, maybe I should. No, we need to. And it's getting the heart of God on the matter of whatever it is that we're facing to know that this needs to kind of be our knee-jerk reaction, that when we're hit with something, whether it's good, whether it's bad, that we're saying, God, man, I'm going to come to you first. This is going to be my first response. I realize this. I've been living this life enough along to know this, that the more my hands stay on the wheel with things and not allowing God to be God in my life, the more frustrating my life becomes. That's a fact. And I realized the more that, you know, it's interesting, even in relationships. I told First Service this morning. I notice even times if Bethany and I are maybe going through a season of we're feeling a little disconnected. Come on, have you ever felt disconnected? Come on, have those, come on, marriage moments. Amen, everybody, all right? And you have those, you know, I've noticed even times that because of that, I struggle with God. You could be on the other side, and maybe you're not married, but you have friends, and you feel disconnected from friends, and then you start feeling that with God. It's just amazing how relationships is God's greatest equation to helping us, not only with him, but with people to advance his work. I love this in John 10. He said, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Prayer is not just us talking, but it's also us listening. I think the greatest art of communication is someone that listens well. Amen. You can amen then. That's okay. Amen. All right, no nudging your neighbor, all right? But it's that we listen well and not thinking what we're going to say next. And so there's moments that I continue to learn in my relationship with the Lord that I'm just waiting on God. And because I got a lot to say, all right? I got a lot I can talk to him about, but I'm realizing more and more in this how I need to just have focused time of just me listening. So God just, you know, he's in a place that he doesn't want to just be a part of your life. He wants to be all of your life. And so when it comes to prayer, prayer is a way of life. He said this in John 15, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, I want you to look at this, you can do nothing. If you're a note taker, keep that verse up there for a minute, guys. If you're a note taker, underline that, circle that. Apart from God, you can do nothing. If God isn't in on the equation with your family and your marriage and your job and your school, man, you can accomplish nothing. But if God's in the mix, come on, somebody, in your marriage, in your family, in your job at school, how many know God can work and God can move and you give him permission to be Lord and God of everything? So it's not just, you know, giving God a slice here and a slice here, but saying, God, you're Lord of all. Because if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And so we need to give him permission to be Lord of everything in our life. Amen, everybody? I love the statement Smith Wigglesworth, who God used to do incredible miracles, was out of England. He said this, never pray more than 20 minutes, but I never go more than 20 minutes without praying. I love that statement because you know what that statement just says? It's a lifestyle. And God wants to be in such a place within your life that prayer is a lifestyle. It's not an event that you go to or something that you just do, but it becomes who you are. That prayer becomes first in your life. Anybody getting this so far? So here's the first thing that we got to understand is, and jot this down, is first of all, the priority of prayer. Prayer's got to be a priority in your life. If you're going to move forward in destiny, if you're going to see that all God wants to do in your life accomplished, it's going to be because you understand the priority of your communication with God really is everything. I think oftentimes life gets busy, doesn't it? It was so much going on that we don't make it a priority. And so we just kind of get flippant with it. But I would encourage you, make sure this is a priority in your life. Make sure that it is not just a Sunday thing, but that you are serious about this and your growth and your relationship with the Lord. So make a daily appointment. Guess what? You get to make it. Make the schedule. All right, and I'm going to talk to you more about kind of finding a plan to help you out. Daniel, in chapter 6, verse 10, it says this, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees, and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. You know, the cool thing about this verse that we could just read it and just kind of be like, okay, great, he prayed. But what was the purpose of why it was a priority, especially in that moment, is that the king during that time issued a decree to all the land that nobody was allowed to talk to their God. But in the midst of it, he held to his convictions and said, no, I got to get my prayer on. And I'm going to find my place, and I'm going to continue to seek after God. Why? Because he understood prayer is a priority. Amen, everybody? And so you got to find out when you're at your best. I mean, very simply put, you know, if you're a morning person, maybe you've tried to pray in the morning and you just, man, you like me, you look and it's only been like 2 minutes. You know, maybe prayer is not your time in the morning. All right, maybe you're an afternoon person. Maybe you're an evening person. But here's what I'm saying. Find when you're at your best and make that decision and say, man, I'm going to make this a priority. Start with 5-10 minutes a day. You know, I think we get so caught up, well, if I don't pray long enough, God won't move. Hooey. All right? Just throw that out. Again, I'm asking you, throw out everything you've ever heard about it, and let's open up our heart to God. You know, and today we're launching our 21 days of prayer today. And so we're launching this not just to say, man, we're going to do this, and this is, you know, why? Because we're doing a series. No, because we know God is wanting to do something, and he's wanting to do something in your lives. He's wanting to do something in our church, and we're believing God for bigger and better things, for God to continue to move in the lives of people, and faith to increase, expectancy to increase. Amen, everybody? And so I want to encourage you to lock in with us. And so if you're not following us on social media and Facebook, there's something for every day. We're going to be putting some things out to help you, devotional type things. I want to encourage you to make sure that you're on there. Make sure that you're checking those things out. And I'm going to tell you a couple tools you're actually going to get today on your way out. Why? Because we're just trying to help. We just want to help resource and give you some tools to see this just grow in your life like never before. But, you know, they say it takes 21 days to form a new habit. And so I'm just believing for the next 21 days, man, there's going to be a people praying like never before that's going to catch what God is doing. I think prayer sometimes is more caught than it is taught. And so I think we've got to catch what God is doing and lock in to what he is wanting for us to do as a church. Because, man, imagine a church full of people praying all the time. I'm telling you, the enemy, Satan, fears a praying church, everybody. He fears a Christian who's locked in with God. He fears them, fears a believer who's full of prayer. And so let's make it a priority. Here's the second thing is finding the place of prayer. Jesus did this, Mark 1:35, very early in the morning while it was still dark. He got up. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So this is what you got to do. You've got to find an environment that is not going to bring forth distractions. How many know, you need to get away from the cell phone sometimes? Isn't it just like freeing and awesome when you just turn that bad boy off? I mean, Lord have mercy. You get enough alerts on that phone for, it's just crazy, the technology. And maybe not praying in a room where you need to make the bed or dust a little bit. Come on, somebody. You ever been there? Ever been in a place where maybe you've prayed and you thought, man, I need to do this. I need to do that. And those are real moments, everybody. You're human, all right? But find you a place that you don't have these distractions. Maybe it's a room in your house. Maybe it's a park. I don't know. One of the things that I did the other week that I just really felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to do this is went on a prayer drive for a while in our city, just praying for you and praying for Fort Wayne. That was my prayer time that day, and just praying and believing God to move, because we want to see God move in thousands of people's lives. Amen, everybody? And see Fort Wayne become a city for Jesus. Amen, everybody. All right? And so that's something we believe. I believe it whether you don't or not. All right? We're part of it. We're part of God's plan, part of the answer. And so we're going to pray big. And here's the third thing is the plan of prayer. And I want to read out of Luke 11 in just a second, because one of the plans that was kind of given, the disciples asked Jesus how they should pray. And I think, and he gave what's called the Lord's Prayer. I think it's one of the most misunderstood scriptures sometimes, not the, but one of the most. And Jesus really intended for this to be an outline for us and not just a prayer to just always recite every day. But it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Man, just notice the respect, the reverence, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. If you go read in Matthew 6, you'll kind of see the fullness of this prayer, which is awesome. But I want to give you two things that's not in your notes. I'm going to maybe say a little bit differently in second service than I did in first. But two things that are not in your notes that I think really can hinder your prayer time. And it's things that the enemy wants to trip you up with to keep you from communicating to God. The first thing I think that can keep you or try to hinder you is sin. I think sometimes the enemy tries to do a great job of putting condemnation, telling us how bad we are, telling us all the shame that we got. So because we're trying to deal with all this sin and these issues in our life, the enemy does a great job of trying to keep us filled with that shame and to keep us from God's presence. And the second thing that can keep us from this, which is this scripture here in Luke 11. That's why, man, Jesus said, hey, I'm ready to forgive you of your sins. So let's deal with that and know that you're going to receive the forgiveness and the freedom and the grace that you need to move on in Jesus' name. Amen. And then the second thing I think that can hinder our prayer life is when we are having aught with our brothers or our friends. When we've got sin or offense in our hearts with people, I think it can become a very strong hindrance in our life. Anybody getting this? Hope this is making sense this morning, because that's the other part of this verse that Jesus said, hey, you got to learn how to forgive and bring. And I think this is why this is highlighted so much in the Lord's Prayer, because I really believe these two things can really hinder our relationship and our communication with the Lord. But sometimes we trip up over this, and it says, and lead us not into temptation. So a lot of people think, so man, God leads us into temptation? And no, that is not the answer, all right? Because when you study it out in the Greek, it literally says, don't allow us to be led into temptation. I think it's good. And so that's the heart of God. And so the key in prayer, and I think one of the things that I try to just personally, if I can just try to give you something personally that I try to do is listen well. Listen well, and then be ready to respond and obey. Respond and obey whatever God is saying or whatever he's wanting you to do next. So a couple things that I want to help us with, all right? I'm kind of being a little teachy this morning, but I want to help get some things in your spirit, all right? One of the things when you leave today, our team will be out there. We're handing out two things to you. First, we're handing out a prayer guide. And this is just a tool for you to help in your personal time with God. The Lord's Prayer is in there. It's broken down in a very simple way for you to understand. But just to, our heart is hopefully that it's going to ignite a passion and a fire for you to want to pray more, all right? And so some simple tools that we want to get in your hand today. And then also, by the way, one of these cool wristbands, you're going to get one of those that says pray first, all right? So when you're throughout your day, all right, you look down and think, man, I need to pray first. All right, everybody? So that's free. I think we all like free stuff, right? So you'll get that on the way out today. Amen? You don't like free stuff? All right, we'll take it back. No, I'm just kidding, all right? But free stuff, that's for you. Here's the other thing, just messing with you. The other thing that we have that I want to encourage us is your connection card. Everybody gets this on Sunday morning. But I want to challenge you with this, because on the bottom of this too is an opportunity for you to write down things that we can be praying with you about. And so one of the things that we do every Saturday at 9 a.m., unless there may be a wedding or a holiday, we're here, which is another reason why if you're not on social media following us, you need to, so you can keep up to date with everything that we're doing. It just helps us communicate well throughout the week. But is to write down your request here. And if you'll notice on your connection card, it's perforated. So we can just literally just tear this off as so, all right? And we can take that bottom part, and if you don't want to put your name, that's fine. And that bottom part can get submitted. And every Saturday, and we start this week, is going to be put down here in one of the steps. And, man, we're going to be praying over these. So I just encourage you, get locked in with that and know that you've got a church that's praying with you. But these Saturday morning prayers are at 9, we start at 9 a.m. We end on time, all right? Start on time, end on time. Sometimes we'll even end a little bit before 10. But the whole purpose of this is because we are desperate around here for more of God. And we are not content with where we're at. And we know, here's what we realize in this church. In January, we began with a vision that God spoke very clearly to myself and our staff and our team, that the level of prayer and the level of spirituality, it's time to raise. And so on Saturdays, it's been awesome. And so we come in here and we pray together. It starts at 9. We have acoustic worship a little bit. We have that for a few minutes. We have a short devotion. We spend a lot of our time praying. We kick up the worship music. And during that time of prayer, we're praying for different things. It's very simple, non-threatening. All right, we don't ever ask people to do anything. It's not weird. All right, remember, people get weird. God's not weird, all right? And then we end. We come together just corporately, and we just pray together at the end. And it's awesome. And I'm just telling you, for some of us, maybe that's going to be what you need. You need to jump in these gatherings of prayer and catch what God is doing. Amen. Preaching good, Pastor. All right. Come on. Come on, second service. All right. And so I want to encourage you. There's some options there for you because we're serious. We have small groups this semester that will be on prayer. You can get in a small group. And then here's the last thing. Number 4 is the persons of prayer. I love this so much because we spent the last half of our worship set talking about and singing to God and declaring his awesomeness about the power of the Trinity, the power of the Holy Spirit. God is so vast that he has expressed 3 in 1. Each one has a different role. And I want to read this out of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and describe what this looks like in this benediction here. It says this, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ. Everybody say amazing grace. The extravagant love of God and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. So what I want you to see is the roles here today of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. They're the same, but the roles in the midst of our prayer life are different. And this is what I want to show you one by one very quickly here this morning. Jot this first one down, is the amazing grace of Jesus. The first thing that we need to connect with when we're in the place of prayer, so as prayer has become a priority, we got a place, we got a plan, and I'm going to connect now with his amazing grace. That means if there's sin in my life, if there's anything in me that's not pleasing to God, I'm going to deal with it. Why? Because his grace is there for you and me. You know, in the Old Testament days, you had to go through some rigmaroles in order to get into the presence of God. It was crazy. You know, how many like the movie? How many have ever seen any of the movies, Indiana Jones? Just kind of wave at me. Yeah, we got some people happy about it. All right, good. One of my favorite ones is the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Y'all remember that one? One of my favorite ones that Indiana Jones did. And they did a pretty good job of depicting how the Ark of the Covenant was according to Scripture. Not exactly biblical, but they did a close job of trying to describe it in such a way. But the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, I'm just going to run through this kind of quick, don't have time to teach all this morning, but was where God's Spirit dwelt, and literally dwelt in a visible way. And so God said, we're going to put this in this tent called the Holy of Holies, and then we're going to put another tent around that called the Tabernacle. And so in there, the tabernacle, there was furniture pieces. But then God said, hey, there's some things that you're going to have to do before you get into my presence. Again, this is Old Testament talk, and that's why we're under a better covenant, a new covenant. Amen, everybody? And so, but those things that you would do, they'd have to go by the brazen altar. They'd have to sacrifice animals. And it was kind of a bloody scene in those days and those times. But thanks be to God for sending his son Jesus, that we don't have to go through steps to get into his presence. All he says is just come to me. Come to me. No matter who you are, whatever's going on, just come to me, and my presence is there waiting for you. Aren't you thankful for Jesus, everybody, who's made the way simple? Man, I'm so glad we don't have to go through a 5-step program to get into his presence. Come on, amen, everybody. Thank God for his amazing grace. So connect with his grace. And this is his role. This is who Jesus is, to give us the forgiveness, the freedom, and the grace that we need for our lives. Why? Because he is the only one who's ever felt what you're going through. And he's the only one who will ever feel what you'll ever go through. Jesus, when he was on earth, fully God, yet fully man. And I love this scripture so much in Hebrews 4, because anytime I get in any season of my life, hear me, in the good, but in the frustrating moments, because how many know there's trouble in this life, scripture tells us, we go through stuff. And I'm reminded of this scripture often when I think, like, man, God, I don't know that anybody gets me. And I'm always pointed back to this verse. This verse God really used in a season of my life to help set me free. And it says this, Hebrews 4, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace, look at this, with confidence, so that we may receive the mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Listen, your shortcomings, your sin, your mess, whatever, your issues, don't scare him. He's waiting on you to boldly just come and bring that stuff to him and let him help put you back together again. Not the other way around. Listen, we get confused and religion tries to tell us, well, we need to have our stuff together before we go to God. No, God says the opposite. Bring the midst of your mess and your brokenness and everything and come to me as you are. Aren't you thankful for that, everybody? That's the love of a father, the love of our God. It's amazing grace. It's amazing grace, and it's powerful. So we can run to him. When we've got sin and mess going on, that we can run to Jesus with confidence, and we're going to receive that forgiveness. I love this. 2 Corinthians, it says this, chapter 12, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. So cry out for God's grace. Grace in your marriage, grace in your family, grace in your finances, grace in your job, grace at school. Amen, everybody? Cry out to him for that. Here's the next thing, and that's the extravagant love of the Father. So after we connect with Jesus and his amazing love through the cross, and knowing that we have a Savior that died, but how many know he just didn't stay there? 3 days later, he rose again for us. We serve a God who's alive. Amen? But then connect and focus on worship. Focus on our hearts, totally submitting to God. Not what we want, not what we want to do, not our preference, but submitting to God and his word and what he wants. And so we approach him with worship and a heart submitted. Ephesians 3:14 says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. I like that because it doesn't mean crawl in your lowly state. Here I am, Lord. It's an honor. You know, and actually the Hebrew culture, the children would come before their father and kneel before them, and then the father would pronounce a blessing on them. And I just want you to know, man, your father, he is waiting to love on you. And that's why when we're in the midst of worship, that when we're singing these songs, we're not singing about him, we're singing to him. That I pray during worship, it's not an introduction to a message, everybody. It's not just, well, I think that was a good idea. We ought to have some music, then preach. No. Worship is everything. I mean, ain't nothing better than getting your worship on. You know, ain't nothing better than just kind of getting lost. And if that's all you do in your prayer time sometimes, so be it. Amen. I'm telling you, he'll love it. And he loves when you get your worship on and just connect him with him and worship him and know who he is. Why? And let me tell you one of the reasons why I love to worship him, because I ain't where I used to be. Like, aren't you glad that you ain't where you used to be? And so I give him worship that when I was stuck in manure and stunk, I was stinky, yeah, and all those things, that he pulled me up out of that stuff and set me free. Amen, everybody? I ain't where I used to be. Come on, look at the person next to you and tell him, I'm not where I used to be. So I'm going to give him the worship. I'm going to give him the praise. That's why I get my clap on. That's why I get my hands raising on. Well, not for show, because he deserves it. I can't stand in a service and not be moved by what God's doing in my life. I got to give him some praise. All right. I'll keep going. Psalm 103. This is who he is. The Lord is compassionate and he's gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us, look at this, as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Thank you, Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions, our sins from us. As a father has compassion on his kids, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Here's what I know. Many of us struggle with this because we are trying to relate our earthly father to our heavenly father. But I'm telling you, man, in Jesus' name, that God will step into your heart and bring healing. He's a father that's going to love you. He's a father that will never abandon you. He's a father that will be there and promise to always be next to us and never leave us or forsake us. That, my friends, is the heart of a father. And that's what I want to connect to. Amen? And then here's the last one. Jot it down. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Man, if you haven't heard about the Holy Spirit, my friend, I want to share with you just for a moment here this morning, because when you get to this part of understanding who he is, this changes everything. It's understanding the person of the Holy Spirit and conversations with him. You know, the Lord speaks to us in many different ways, and a lot of different ways. A few ways I believe he can speak to you and I is audibly, through his written word, through worship, through dreams and visions, through people. Through a peace. Oftentimes for my own personal life, God speaks to me through a peace. And it says this in John 14, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit. Think about that, my counselor. I mean, thank God for good counselors. There's a great one called the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he's awesome. He's awesome. That word counselor in the Greek literally means, it's the word parakletos, and it literally means that he is called to one side as our intercessor, our friend, our advocate, our counselor. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome to know that. You know, I want to just kind of close with this thought, this story. There was a season of my life that I was really struggling with this prayer thing. I just felt like God used this to kind of help see the way a little bit clearer. And bald eagles are great animals. They're cool animals. There's a lot of birds in the world, but man, I think those are one of the fiercest, and they're cool. And one of the things about an eagle that a lot of people don't know is they will set up high on a mountain, and they will wait, and only they can sense it and know when it's time, but they wait on what's called this thermal wind. Thermal wind. And so when this thermal wind comes and they sense it, they jump off that mountain and they soar. But the difference between thermal wind and non-thermal wind, thermal wind, they soar. Non-thermal wind, they have to flap. And for some of us, I feel like we've been in the place, because, I know what this feels like, that we're just flying. We're trying to get God's attention, all these things, and God's just saying, hey, it's simple. And God's word makes this simple for us. God wants to get you and I to a place that we're not having the flap, but we're soaring and doing what he has called us to do. Come on, without not having to work and do all these things, but soaring in his love and his grace and his compassion. You know, prayer is really not about quantity as it is quality. A pastor that I know, he preaches great. You may know, I've heard of him, Brother Larry Stock. Still, a person came up to him after one service and said, well, Pastor, how long should I pray? His response was incredible. He said, well, I think you ought to pray until joy hits your spirit and then go about your day. And I think for sometimes we make this thing way too difficult, and God is just saying, I want your attention. And I just want to make this simple. Let's connect with Jesus and his amazing grace, everybody. Let's connect with the extravagant love of the Father and connect in the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Come on, will you bow your head? I want to pray for you. Father, right now, we want to do just that. We want to connect with your amazing grace. God, if there's sin or things in our life right now, I just ask, God, that you take these things and we submit them to you. We declare those things don't have a hold on our lives. But God, your amazing grace, your love, freedom, forgiveness is right here today. Father, we thank you for the amazing love, the extravagant love of God, that we will know you more and more. God, we worship you, we honor you, we thank you that we're not where we used to be, but we want to move forward. And God, we thank you for the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. God, we want to connect with you. We want to grow in our conversation. So Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, our friend today. And so Lord, we just give you the praise. And so Father, right now, as every person sitting here, God, let prayer just ignite in us. Let it be a knee-jerk reaction, God, to pray first. And I pray we catch this in the name of Jesus. As every head is bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you realize, man, and you say, Kyle, you know what, man? The first decision and choice I got to make is following after Jesus. You know, that's the greatest decision you could ever make in your life. For some, maybe all this prayer, God stuff is new for you. I want you to know he loves you so much. He is alive and well, and he loves you. Or maybe you're in a place, maybe you had a relationship with the Lord, and man, you just feel like you've just drifted further from him. But you know today, it's time to come back home into that relationship with him. Come on, as every head is bowed, all eyes closed, all across this room. If you say, that's me, Kyle, man, as soon as you say, I knew that's me. You're talking to me. Come on, slip up your hand right where you're at and say, man, that's me. I know I need to make that decision. Awesome. Come on, all over this room. Proud of you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Proud of you, man. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And here's what I want us to do. All of us as a church, with those that raise their hand, we're just going to say a prayer. It's from our hearts this morning. Just say something like this after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you all that I am today, God. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Today is a new day for me. I'm not looking back. I'm moving forward. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.